Hello, and welcome to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. In 1956, Earl Nightingale recorded The Strangest Secret, launching a new era in self-improvement. Over his lifetime, he created thousands of radio and audio programs exploring success, purpose, and meaning. This project is my personal reflection on those ideas, what they meant then, and how they apply now, as I work to put them into practice and invite you to come along for the ride.
Episode 42, Be Happy. As Earl Nightingale reminds us, people don't need to be educated nearly as much as they need to be reminded. This series is about remembering the truths we probably already know and learning how to live them. This week's episodes are brought to us by President Aaron Dents over at the Dents Group. We took to the streets and asked 1,000 people a simple question. Would you recommend the Dents Group? And a not insignificant number of people said yes. Some of them were very enthusiastic. Then we asked a follow-up question. What exactly does the Dents Group do? 7 people gave us an acceptable answer. 7! The most common correct response? I don't know, some business? That's right. The Dents Group is some business. And in today's economy, that's not nothing. So, if you need help with your importing or exporting or putting the doodads up on top of the sparkly things, President Dents is your guy. Call the Dents Group. Ask for the president, Aaron Dents. And let him know he has some business. This is a satirical ad. No one is paying me anything for this. Although if they were, I would confidently say they are some business. Today's episode focuses on one result nearly all of us want, regardless of where we come from or what we do. To be happy. Earl begins by drawing a distinction between relative happiness and real happiness. For many of us, happiness isn't something we experience in isolation. It's something we measure. We feel good about what we bought or earned or achieved until we see what someone else has. In that moment, our satisfaction becomes comparative. To anchor this idea, Earl turns to a line often attributed to Abraham Lincoln. People are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. But he deepens the point with a definition brought to us by Samuel Butler. Happiness and misery consist in a progression toward better or worse. It does not matter how high up or how low down you are. It depends not on this, but on the direction in which you are tending. The idea reframes happiness in terms of movement, not direction. Earl illustrates this with a striking example. A person in prison, he says, could be among the happiest people in the world if they are only a few days away from release. Why? Because of direction. Their life is moving toward freedom, not away from it. This idea leads into one of Earl's reoccurring themes. We are all self-made men and women, but only the successful ones admit it. Earl tells a story about a friend of his who hired a company to install new drapes in his home. When the installer finished and left, Earl's friend came home and immediately noticed something was wrong. The drapes didn't hang properly. They sagged slightly and looked uneven. After a closer look, he realized why. Several necessary screws had simply been left out of the installation. So he called up the company and the installer was sent back to fix the problem. When confronted, the worker didn't apologize. He didn't inspect the work. Instead, he brushed it off and said, almost casually, "This is how I always do it." Earl's friend replied, "I don't care how you always do it. I care how it's done in my house." Reluctantly, the worker agreed to fix the problem. But after he left again, Earl's friend checked the drapes and nothing had changed. The screws were still missing. The job was still sloppy. At that point, he called the store and asked to cancel the entire order. Store manager, alarmed, immediately called the installer and told him to go back and apologize and make it right. The worker refused. He insisted he hadn't done anything wrong and didn't need to go back. The manager fired him on the spot. Earl presents this not as a story about bad luck, but about self-authorship. The worker shaped his own outcome through his attitude, his standards, and his refusal to take responsibility, while likely believing the world had simply treated him unfairly. From there, Earl draws a parallel between happiness and money. He suggests that many people earn about as much as they've subconsciously decided they should earn. He tells another story of a company that increased sales commissions to hopefully boost performance. Many salespeople simply sold less because they were already hitting the income level that they felt comfortable with. Their effort adjusted to match their expectation. The implication here is subtle, but it's sharp. Sometimes we don't rise to our potential. We settle into our comfort zone. Earl closes the episode with a story about a friend in advertising who lived by one simple rule. Always tell the truth. Over time, his friend identified what he believed people consistently want from life. And here is his list, which is surprisingly quite timeless. Excuse me. Good health, more money, to be liked and respected, improved appearance, security in old age, praise for accomplishment, more comfort, more leisure, pride in what they've done, business advancement, social advancement, increased enjoyment of life. Earl's quiet challenge is this: if these are the things people want, how often do we keep them in mind when we speak, work, lead, or serve? What stayed with me most from this episode is the idea that happiness and even success is less about where we stand and more about the direction we choose to walk. The drapery installer didn't just lose a job, he revealed a standard. And over time, our standards quietly become our outcomes. If that's true, then maybe happiness isn't something we chase. Maybe it's something we build. One choice, one responsibility, and one well-served person at a time. Until next time, remember, the answers are older than we are and just as relevant today.